he was blessed in the receiving back unto himself all who would have simple childlike trust in his love for them through Christ and his cross.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. I'm Daniel Britt, and we're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a series called More Blessed. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now for your gift to Sharing the Light this month. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org or by phone at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
We can't lose this one. I mean, this is our word, blessed, right? But now we've got everything's hashtag blessed. Are you kidding me? You see some celebrity, you know, and there's some slinky dress at some exclusive party wearing a lot of jewelry and just like, then hashtag blessed. Just trivializing the thing. It's become in social media, it's kind of become the way that you can, you know, just brag, and it's supposed to be not bragging if you just end it with hashtag blessed. You know, it's kind of like in the South, if you just say, you know, bless his heart, then you can just gossip as much as you want after that, you know. You know, we're praying for so-and-so, bless his heart. You know that, you know, blah, 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 you know, you just say. But now the new thing is like, you know, say, you know, just so glad to report that, you know, I made straight A's and was voted most popular kid in school. Hashtag blessed. One comedian making fun of all this tweeted, caught a piece of bacon falling out of my sandwich right before it hit the ground. Hashtag blessed. We cannot lose this word. This is our word. Blessed. Okay? Adam and Eve were blessed by God, and then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Abraham was called up out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and God promised him that he would be blessed so that he could be a blessing. The whole people of God would be blessed so that they could be a blessing. It is the profound and deep, unmerited favor of God. The idea of being blessed is so much richer and deeper than the idea of being happy, because blessedness, by its very definition, means that someone is doing the blessing. That it is not something that you could brag about or that you could have earned, but it is a condition. It is a state in which you find yourself because of the sovereign hand of God that has moved on your behalf. According to Kittle's Dictionary, the New Testament, Old Testament view of blessedness means fullness of life, and it's often related to virtue and wisdom. And when you come to the New Testament, it refers overwhelmingly, this is still Kittle's famous dictionary in New Testament, overwhelmingly to the joy which accrues to man from his share in the salvation of the kingdom of God. The word for blessed in both the Old Testament and New Testament is almost referring to a person, rarely a thing, almost never a thing. Even if it is a thing, it's more like, blessed are your eyes, for you can see. It's what Mary says after realizing that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. From now on, the whole world will call me blessed. You get a sense on early in Jesus' ministry that he's just taking the notion of blessedness and he's going to turn it upside down in some shocking ways, because blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. There's some of the ways that you would think that is not the model for happiness, because it doesn't fit the so you can get syndrome. And Jesus then just inverts it all. And he says, I'm going to tell you what real blessing is. I'm going to tell you about a different avenue to blessing. And I'm going to tell you about what this really means. You can be blessed even when others are reviling and persecuting you and uttering all kinds of evil against you, because great is your reward in heaven. It changes everything in your life when you see this. Your blessedness is related to belief. When Simon Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord, you remember what Jesus said to him, said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You're blessed when you get a revelation. You're blessed when you have faith. Blessedness is related to faith in future security, confidence in the goodness of God and your ultimate destiny. Blessed is the man whose sin is not counted against him, Paul says in Romans chapter 4. It's prevalent in the book of Revelation. Blessed are those that die in the Lord. Blessed are those that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those that have the right to the tree of life. See, happiness is a good feeling, perhaps contentment, a pleasant sentiment, enjoying life, but blessedness is much deeper. You know, it's interesting, if you look up in Merriam-Webster, happiness, and you look up blessedness, you're going to find almost the same definition. In fact, it's almost hard to find a good definition of blessedness. This is long, it's too long to even write down, but this is where I would think it is. Blessedness is an awareness of divine favor, which brings not only the happiness and contentment of current well-being, but enduring gratitude that knows that the favor you have been shown has not come from within yourself, but from God. It is accompanied by a sense of divine purpose flowing in your life, profound meaning to it all, awareness that the creator of the universe is mindful of you, loves you, has affection for you, so that you are at every moment in a relationship of real love. All of this is accompanied by the inward security of knowing that you have a future that is filled with good things, and that you will live with God for all eternity. What this means is that blessedness is not a self-help principle, and Jesus' words here, though they can have truth for every single person, cannot really be grasped except for those that are in Christ. Because it really, in the end, is to say that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and therefore, we know that there's a hand of divine favor that is upon us in all of our circumstances, no matter what we're facing. What this means is that you are blessed, not because you do something for God and then He gives you a blessing, but that you are drawing upon a deep well of God's grace that He has already set upon you in Jesus Christ. And that there's something, therefore, about the design of the human being, the way that God made His world and the way that He made you, is that blessedness is released through the acts of giving. Blessedness is released for the farmer as he's sowing the seed, not as he's holding on to it. And blessedness in life is not merely an avenue to a future blessing. It is the blessing. Oh, that we could have eyes to see this mystery. It is the blessing. I mean, like you asked me in my life, you know, what are some of the greatest blessings in your life? Well, I mean, recently I've just been very reflective about the fact that now my kids have grown up. We've got one who's newly married, one who's in college, and so most of the time it's Ann and I at home now, and wow, how fast that season went of raising those kids. And people say, well, how are you feeling about all this? And I said, well, you know, I said, it's great, we can pick up and go, we can do whatever we want, you know, so far. I said, but boy, I miss it. Because I'll just easily say that raising those kids was the most fun thing I've ever done in my life. It's definitely the most fun thing I've ever done in my life, which is in many ways a crazy statement to make. Do you realize what a crazy statement that is for any parent to ever say that? Now, maybe it's only the parents who have already raised the kids that then look back and say that. When you've got three toddlers in the house, you may not be saying that, but I'm saying it now from my vantage point as I am now. It's just so much fun. It's so much fun. Are you kidding me? How could this be fun?
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
I mean, do you remember, parents, do you remember what this was like? I was just thinking back about my wife, my precious, beautiful wife, and we're so excited the time had come for our firstborn, and she had started labor, went to hospital, and they said, well, you're not ready, and they said, here's the thing you do. If you walk the halls, then it will progress your labor. And so we had gone in sometime around 2 a.m., I think, or something like that. I don't know. No, we gone in the afternoon, I think. I can't even remember. We went in and we started walking the halls. Bless our heart. I mean, when you're 9 months pregnant and you walk the halls all night long, walking the halls, and till finally there's no energy left, and now it's time for the baby to be born. And she had to push and push and work and work and push and push and work and work. She had no energy left whatsoever. And bless her heart, she had had, I guess, something called back labor for a lot of this. And so her back hurt so bad after that baby was born. I'd never seen her in more pain than when she was in her back. Was just, it was so bad. And and then this baby was born in Durham. I don't know if the hospitals do this here, but they had a nice thing there where, the day after the baby's born, they treat you to a nice meal, not just in your room with a tray on the bed, but they take you to a little room, and they had a little linen tablecloth and thing and a little candlelight there, and mom and dad can go in there, and the baby's in the nursery, and we go and sit down and eat a good meal. I mean, it was nice. It was like a little steak or something. It was a little tough, but it was all right. And steak in the hospital is not, but it doesn't matter. You've been laboring and walking the halls, and and there she is. And so my wife, she had bought for this very moment, she had bought a new nightgown. She's going to put it on. I mean, there you are. You're just giving birth to a baby. You're just worn out, had all the back pain and everything else, but she's like, I'm going to put this on and just feel like a human being, you're feeling. And so she sat down and she put that pretty new nightgown on. We had ate our little chewy, tough steak, and then we went back to the room. They brought the baby back in, and fed the baby, held the baby, and within 5 minutes he spit up on her new nightgown. And in fact, what would happen thereafter is Bennett, every time you'd feed him, he'd spit up. So I mean, we just regularly you'd have to carry. Don't put him on your shoulder without putting a spit cloth on your shoulder. He just spit on you. So this is welcome to parenthood, right? We went home, and unfortunately, Bennett just wasn't nursing very well, and she had gotten so little sleep. And she's up at night trying to get the baby to eat. And I remember just saying, she's just over there, she hadn't slept. She's just like, everything. She's like, please eat, baby, please, just please eat, baby. And I'm over there just praying in the spirit, the baby will eat, drink some milk. And then finally, Ann's mom was at our house at night, and she said, listen, Ann, you got to get some sleep. We're just going to give the baby a bottle. Ann's like, no, we can't give her the bottle, need the mother's milk. She's so much healthier. We're like, nah, the baby is not going to die for drinking a bottle. We're going to give him a bottle. You're going to go to sleep. And because I looked over at her, and she was starting to tremble. She had trembles. She hadn't slept in so long, and she was just like trembling. I'm like, do we need to take her to the hospital? Are we going back to the hospital? Welcome to parenthood. And so finally she got a little bit of sleep. And what I realized then is that this is the way it was going to be. This is the way it's going to be, is that the blessing had come home with us, and it meant that you get to get up in the middle of the night and change wet diapers and comfort crying babies. It means that you change every priority in your life. It means that you then, as they get older, you drive them everywhere, every day of the week. It means your schedule changes. It means, what do you do as a parent? You just give and give and give. And guess what? Your children don't even know what you've given to them. That's the great thing about it. It's like, they don't, even if they were really thankful, they wouldn't even know what to thank you for because they don't even have any idea. They don't even know how you made that money that you spent on their stuff and their food. They don't even know. They have no idea. They don't know what you're doing. And this is what you do. And you do this for year after year after year. And then one day you stand up in front of people and say, that was the most fun I ever had in my whole life. How can this be? How can I say that? How can I say that giving my life away for my kids' benefit was the most fun thing I've ever done in my life? The only explanation of that is that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Do you know that as a mother nurses her baby, that science has shown it releases an endocrine, oxytocin, which is a happy hormone that relaxes. That as she gives milk, she feels happier, literally. Do you understand when you exercise,
if you exercise, if you can get past that first little part of it where you're like, this is the worst feeling I've ever had in my life, right now, you know? But if you could get past that, do you realize endorphins then get released in your body and you feel better than you have felt in a long time? You're like, what is this? What's happening? You're giving yourself to something that at first glance is hard. You're exercising, but you're being blessed as you give to that. If you say, well, what blesses you, Alan? I said, well, I don't know. I got to get up this morning and I get to preach. Easter last week, I got to preach 5 times in 1 weekend. I'm just like, you know, in between services back there doing calisthenics, stretching out, trying to, you know, I'm like an athlete trying to make it through. But my spirit is like, I got done. We got done with 5 services on Easter day, whatever. And I'm just like, can we do another one? Now, 4 o'clock that afternoon, I wouldn't have said that. But do you see what I'm saying? God's made a design wherein it's not just somewhere down the road that you will be blessed as you give, but it is a whole new path to the greatness of joy and peace in this world. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We're going to see later that this covers every arena of life. It's why you're happier. You can't be any happier than when you're praising God. When you give praise, it far exceeds any praise you could receive. It means when you release, rather than trying to tightly control, you're going to be much more blessed. It means that when you serve, you're discovering the path of true greatness. In what Jesus said, whoever wants to be great in your midst will be the servant of all. He redefined greatness. See, Jesus was not saying it's wrong to want to be blessed. He didn't even say it's wrong to want to be great. He just said, I want you to understand the truth about how you get there. But you see, in the end, this is the nature of God himself. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. He gave so that, in a very real sense, he would be ultimately blessed. He gave because in that giving of his son, Jesus, on the cross, he was blessed in the receiving back unto himself all who would have simple childlike trust in his love for them through Christ and his cross. He was being blessed because it was the only way you would be saved. You understand there's something in God who is full and free and complete in his own eternal blessedness that is nonetheless, if you could say this about God, somehow to expand beyond the mind's capacity to imagine it or even to defy the soundness of some of our best theology. If you could say God would be more blessed, or his happiness would be increased, or his glory would be magnified, it is magnified in this, in what he can give to you. This is a mystery. Jesus said to Peter, who said, you'll not wash my feet. And he said, Peter, unless I wash you, you'll have no part of me. Please let me wash you. Please let me give to you. Please let me serve you. This is the God of the universe of which I'm speaking. It is the nature of God. He is a giver. And so what happens is when your life starts matching up to that,
When you have the Spirit of God inside of you, prompting you to praise Him, prompting you to serve, prompting you to give, prompting you to release control, prompting you in all these ways, what is happening? What is happening is that the life of Jesus Himself is being lived out in you. For this is the nature of God. It's the answer. It just flies in the face of culture and most everything else you've ever believed in your life. A famous psychiatrist had a patient who had been depressed for a long time and nothing seemed to help. Tried everything. And so finally he said to her, I'm giving you an assignment this week. I want you to go and I want you to visit the aged and the infirmed at the skilled nursing care facility. And I want you to go and I want you to visit two or three times this week. And just go visit. Just show somebody. Even if you don't say anything, just go visit, hold their hand, give somebody a smile, you know. And he said he saw the patient the next week and came in, and it was clear her countenance had changed. She was visibly better. She was more communicative. And he realized for the first time in all of the treatment that this had helped. And he looked at her and he said, wow. He said, well, isn't this wonderful? He said, we have discovered now at least one of the avenues by which you can have your depression begin to lift through this way of serving. And he said, so now we found something for you to do. And true story, she looked back and she said, what? She said, you're not expecting me to go do that every week, are you? I'm talking about taking these words of Jesus and letting them get so deep down inside of you that it becomes the nature of your life. It's more blessed to give than receive. And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright and today's teaching, More Blessed to Give Than Get. In the series, More Blessed, Pastor Alan is back with us in the studio sharing a parting good news thought for the day here in just a moment.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Alan's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. Back in the studio, sitting with Pastor Alan and our parting good news thought for the day in the series, More Blessed. And I wonder if any pastor's ever gotten those words backwards, more blessed to get than give. And say, oh, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
Right. Well, we think, and when we're in our immaturity, if I could just get that new football, I'd be more blessed than everyone else. Yeah. But what you realize, the more you grow, is that when you have the capacity to be able to give, to make an investment of your life, there's no greater joy. As we were learning today, Daniel, you know, any parent can understand this. If you have a child that would deeply receive from you so that they could learn and grow and it would go well for that child, that's a greater joy than acquiring something for yourself. And that's the way the human soul is designed. You are designed to give. You're designed to prosper as you help others grow and prosper. It's just the nature of God. He's a giver. So you're going to be your happiest when you give. It's more blessed to give than to receive.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.